Hey, Crossroads Anywhere. It's great to have you online with us right now. My name's Robbie. I get to do music here at the Oakley campus, and it's great to have you here. We're going to get started with worship in about, 45 seconds or so. So make sure that if you're by yourself, you got your headphones in and turned up loud enough, you can sing along. Or if you're at home, go ahead and crank up your speakers so that you and whoever else you're hanging out with can sing and not feel weird and actually hear each other singing. If you can avoid that, you can save yourself a little, awkward moment. So looking forward to jumping into our series called Life Hacks. We'll see you in just a few seconds. Here we go. Welcome to Crossroads, everybody. It's great to have you here. My name's Robbie, and we're continuing our series called Life Hacks. We're looking at parts of our lives that we maybe have a little trouble getting traction in, looking at what God might have to say about those different parts and how we can grow and become, a better version of ourselves. So why don't you stand up? We're going to spend some time just telling God that we love Him and inviting Him into our journey, all right? Here we go. So much more. Nothing we have satisfies. We are thirsty for healing water. Could it be found without a price? Is there more?
Seek without a war. You're my best thought by day or by night. Wake me, no sleeping, your presence, my life. Be thou my wisdom, you my true word. May see only you. Give me clear eyes that lead me to your heart. Give me clear eyes that I may see only you. Give me clear eyes that lead me to your heart.
Many of us in here are renters. We have landlords. All of us in here, if we own our house at one point, had a landlord. What's a landlord? It's somebody who owns and is in charge of where we live, but we are able to be there under his authority. The landlord. God wants to not just be a landlord. He wants to be the Lord of our lives, understanding that he owns everything that there is to see. And when we come under what he owns and honor him and go his ways, life tends to work. So whether you're one who wants to put yourself and has yourself under the lordship of Jesus, or whether you're one who is seeking to figure out, is that something that I want to step into? Let's connect with him right now by singing this song together. I lay at your feet.
child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. You guys sing it. I'm no longer.
Identify any other name that we wear other than child of God, a name that doesn't represent the beauty or the authority that comes along with that name child that you give us. And in this moment, we want to lift those names up to you and have you take those from us, take shame, take broken, and replace it with child of God, because you love us so much.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drown my fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Sing it out. You split the sea.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drown my fears in perfect love. A child of God. I am, and I am a child of God. And I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Sing it. Yeah. God, you know what we actually believe by looking at our actions. I pray that our time here today, our time watching online, would change the core of our belief. Not just about who we are, but about who you are, that you are a good, good Father. And you've given us a good name and a good inheritance. And we want to receive that more fully today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, so good to sing with you guys. So good to worship with you. Hey, do me a quick favor. Why don't you turn around and introduce yourself to somebody who you don't already know. Ask them how long they've been coming to Crossroads and have a seat. If you're watching online, that'd be a good time for a quick pit stop or say hi to somebody you're sitting with. All right.
Hey guys, my name's Matt. I lead Crossroads Anywhere. I'm glad you guys are with us this weekend. We have an awesome 70 minutes planned. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're gonna experience this weekend. So first off, we're gonna take communion together. This is a community thing for us. And so what I want you to have the opportunity to do is run into your kitchen or your cabinet, under your couch cushions, doesn't really matter to me. The stuff isn't important, but if you have wine or juice or milk or water, or just something to drink, and then something to eat. So crackers, bread, anything that you can find, and make that available, put it on your coffee table, your dining room table, doesn't matter to me. There's gonna be a part in the service today where we're gonna be invited to take communion. And we'll tell you all about that and set all that up, but I just want you to have an opportunity to be ready for it. The other thing I want you to be ready for, so the right people are in the room, is this week we're gonna tackle the real topic of sex and what it looks like to hack that in our life. And I love this about Crossroads. We don't shy away from the real topics and the things that really matter to us. And so I do, though, want you to have a chance to make sure all the right people are in the room for that talk. So you might need to go get the right people and bring them in, or you might need to find other things for, you know, little ones or anyone else to sort of be doing while you attend Crossroads with us today. And so I want to also tell you about some of the teams that you can be a part of at Crossroads over really the next couple of months. So one of them is the foster care team. We are super passionate about foster kids. This is like the heart of God, to take orphans who don't know that they're loved, who might not feel accepted, and really bring them into a family. And if you have ever had sort of a tug on your heart to be a foster parent or a foster family, I'd love for you to attend an info session. You can go to crossroads.net/fostercare. You'll find out all the information about all the resources that we provide foster families and the info sessions. There's no commitment required. You're not signing up for anything quite yet, but this could be a really great first step in exploring this and maybe some of the sort of the gut feels that you feel like maybe have come from God on this topic in the past. Another team you can be a part of is our Awaited team. I know I'm jumping months in advance, right, to December. Awaited is our Christmas show. It's a creative retelling of the Christmas story. Last year, we had over 80,000 people come to the show. And as a result, this year, we're actually going to do it at two of our campuses, the Oakley campus and the Mason campus. And what we need to pull that off is some really talented people. Now, not people like me who think the idea of being in a Christmas pageant is really exciting. This is not really a Christmas pageant. This is a big deal. And so what we're really looking for is drummers and dancers and actors and singers, kids, adults who are actually really talented at this stuff. And if that's you, I'd love for you to come to an audition. We have auditions at Oakley and at Mason, and you can go to crossroads.net/awaited-auditions to find out more. The third team that you have got to be a part of if you're a high school student is the team that goes to Big. Big is a monthly event. It is an absolute blast. It's where all the high school students in the Cincinnati area gather together at all of our different campuses for an incredible event. This time at our Oakley campus, we're actually kicking off with a block party. And you could go to bignightforteens.com to learn more information about that. We always have a lot of things going on at Crossroads, a lot of things to be a part of. And so if you ever have a question about any of those things, we'd love for you to text us. And you can text us at 513-402-0289. And we'd love to answer any question you might have. And we're gonna jump into that message now. And before we do, we're gonna have a time to take up an offering. This for us is our sort of weekly rhythm for those of us who call this place home to fuel the things which we feel like God is doing around here. And so if that's you, you can go to crossroads.net/give and give today. And while we do that, we're gonna take a look at some more life hack tips from Josh and Andy.
Life hacks. This week, we're gonna talk sex hacks. We're gonna talk beauty hacks.
That's more my speed.
All right, this beauty hack is for all my bros out there that have some gnarly, gross pit stains. Okay, I know all you guys have at least one white t-shirt that is not white anymore. So, here's what we're going to do. Grab your t-shirt, go to your kitchen, grab some lemon juice. Lay your t-shirt down, and you're going to go to town on those pit stains with this lemon juice. So get it in there nice and deep. Rub it in if you have to. Throw it in the wash. And then when it comes out, boom, sprinkly white t-shirt. Hacked. Here's a hack to help you stay fresh. Fellas, you cut up some onions for a nice dinner for your lady, and now your hands just reek of onions. That sucks. You're not going to be getting any with oniony hands. So, here's how you get them fresh. Pull out a tube of toothpaste, squirt some of that on your hands, get it in there nice and deep-like, okay? Make sure it's in there, all right? Lather it up, wash your hands off, onion gone. Boom, saved your beautiful night. Smells great.
Here's another beauty hack. The easiest way to decrease puffiness around your eyes is to put cold green tea bags on. Ah.
All right, for this hack, we're gonna teach you how to get a perfect ponytail every time. First, grab yourself a young millennial, a vacuum cleaner, and a hair tie. Let's see how it works. Boom, perfect ponytail.
That's all for sex hacks. I mean, beauty hacks.
Just the tips.
Oh, my. If you're going to have a series on understanding critical things in life and what's the hack to get through it, get the straightest line, a simple shortcut maybe even, understanding the simplicity in the midst of the complexity, it's hard to have a hack series, How to Hack Life, without talking about the thing that is so prevalent in our culture. Now, I know you're sitting there like, hey, that's sex. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do when I go to church. I want to hear a guy at church talk about sex. In fact, I invite all my friends to do that. Wow, that sounds good. Actually, I think you're going to be hopefully pleasantly surprised. So I'll just tell you before we go, we're going to talk very frankly today. If you are newer Crossroads, like the last several months or something like that, you're going to see an aspect of us you might not have seen before. We've done this way for 20 years. We're not doing anybody any favors to talk around issues or use code language. If you've got young kids in here, great. You should be first to market with your kids, although you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to realize you should have had your kids in Kids Club. They're going to ask you questions you don't know. And if you're in junior high or senior high, it's time you hear the real stuff about sex. So I'm excited you're in here today. So let me pray before I go any further. God, you're really, really good to give us times of clarity and to give us keys that unlock life. And I know the sexual area is a huge one for all of us, either amazing source of joy or amazing source of frustration. So help me to honor you and to give your truth in a way that's digestible and palatable. Do something fresh in us today, I pray. And I pray these things according to your ways, according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So yeah, sex is a big, big deal in our culture. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find a movie that doesn't have sex as a central theme. You'll be hard-pressed to find many songs in the top 10 that don't have sex as a central theme. You'll be hard-pressed to find a joke that a lot of people is funny that doesn't have a sexual punchline to it. You'd be fascinated by how many new businesses there are that are starting up that are around sex. I mean, it's on our conversation, it's on our mind over and over and over and over and over again inside of our culture. And part of that is because we are sexual beings. God has created us with the capacity to have sex. He's created us to be able to enjoy sex. But there's something much more deep and mystical than that. It goes all the way back to our relationship with God before we think about our relationship with another person. Here's what happens in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So human beings are created in the image of God in a way that nothing else is created in the image of God. We have capacities for connection with God in a way that nothing else has a capacity for connection with God. We have a longing to connect with God and understand, is there a God or not, when other created beings don't. There's zero evidence that my cat Frank wants to develop his prayer life. Zero evidence. There's zero evidence that any giraffe in Africa philosophically believes he should spend time on his knees to just hear from his creator. Created beings don't have, other created beings outside of humans just don't have those capacities. And therefore, those capacities that we have for God that others don't have, there's a level of intimacy. That's the hack for sex today. The hack is intimacy. The hack is intimacy. There's a level of intimacy that we are capable of with another human being that we can only have because God has created us to have intimacy with Him. He blesses us and says, be fruitful and multiply. So sex does bring about multiplication, but the reason multiplication comes about is because we have intimacy with somebody else, and we have intimacy with somebody else because we can have intimacy with God. Sex in our culture isn't about intimacy at all. It's about a physical transaction that makes me feel good and that makes and cements us being a legitimate couple. It's nowhere near as deep as it is for God. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So they're fruitful, they're multiplying, conceives and bore Cain, oldest son. But check what it says. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife. There's a bunch of other words you could have put in there, right? So Adam, his wife, and she conceived and born Cain. Adam, I mean, I could really go to town. Maybe we could have a lot of fun stuff right there, right? But what's the word there? Knew. He knew his wife. In Hebrew, this is the word yada, which means to know. I remembered this word when I was studying in seminary. I remember this word because I tried to find ways to remember these Hebrew words, and so I remembered yada because Yoda knows. In Star Wars, Yoda knows also, so yada, to know. So Adam knew his wife. This is fascinating. Intimacy is much deeper than a sexual transaction. It's knowing someone. It's getting to know them. It's wanting to know them. It's going deep with them. Again, we have no evidence in the rest of the animal world that there's the ability to know another like there is the ability to know a husband to know his wife, a wife know her husband, a dating person to know somebody else that they're dating, to just interact even outside of sex. And by the way, this is why the biblical ideal is so prevalent and so important today. God formally weds himself to us in relationship with him, and he goes public with that. And we experience oneness with him. And this is why sex in the Bible is reserved for men and women who have formally wed themselves to one another because we go public with it. It's not like God doesn't want other people to have joy. Not like God doesn't want people, other people to have, you know, stimulation. It is that sex is two people becoming one. Insertion is two people becoming one. And this mirrors that you are one spiritually, just like we are one with God because I'm a child of God and he possesses me. He is inside of me with his Holy Spirit. See, sex is deep. It really is. And the rest of the animal kingdom doesn't operate on this level of depth. Our culture, though, would tell us that sex always wins. That you can't say no to your sex drive. It's, Brian, come on, you're crazy. There's no way virile people can say no to their sex drive if they're not married. There's no way you can say no to checking out porn every once in a while. There's no way, come on. Sex always wins. I'm hearing this more and more. Sex always wins. It's not love always wins, it's sex always wins. What's the idea there? You can't stop your urges. They're just going. In fact, it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to curb your sexual urges. Let me tell you, it's unhealthy to believe it's unhealthy you can curb your sexual urges. That's unhealthy. What you're saying is you're not created in the image of God. You're just an animal. Now, I like animals. I have Winston, for instance. Winston is our dog. He's 140 pounds of stupidness. Seriously. He is about the most stupid dog you will ever have, and we like him that way. We like them dumb. We like them stupid. We like them having no energy at all. All the only energy he wants to expend is the energy to get up on the couch and lie in our lap. Like those of you who got a lab, God bless you. If I had to walk a dog, put a gun to my head. I have no interest in that at all. I get up in the morning, I go down to get my coffee and my oatmeal, and I open the front door, and Winston like wanders out, and he just goes out, he's doing his business there, and then I'm done, I come back to the door, and he's just sitting there, or he's already wandering inside. That's all the exercise he needs. He needs no more exercise. He just wanders out. As far as he'll go, he'll wander out and go to our next door neighbor, Brian Wells, and take a dump in his yard, and then come all, and he comes in, I go, that's a good boy, yeah. Now, once or twice a year, there's a period of time, like for 4 days or something like that, where I let him out, and like, he doesn't come back in. I'm going, what? So I'll go out and say, Winston, and maybe he's taking a dump around the side of the house and takes him a little, okay, but I'll, Winston, come, he's not coming. Winston, come, he's not coming. I'm like, oh. There's some hot little thing in our neighborhood who goes into heat, and when that bitch goes into heat, forget it. It's a veterinary term. What are you getting all upset about? When that bitch goes in the heat, forget it. He is like, he's gone. So when I call him, he's not coming. I realize, oh gosh, it must be, I don't know who this dog is. I don't know where this dog is, but I go out in my truck, I get in my truck, and I go around, and I eventually find him. He's generally on a street corner smoking a cigarette. Yeah, and when I pick him up, when I get him back in the truck, I mean, I can't be angry at him, right? Because he is a dog. And if he smells that, he's a dog. I have no other higher expectation for him. He's not a child of God. He's not created in the image of God. He's a dog. Guess what? You're not a dog. You're not a wolf. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Sex doesn't win. Love wins, intimacy wins, Jesus wins, and our culture is doing everything it can to tell you and I, you're just a dog, sex always wins, it's nothing more than two people loving one another, and no, it's not. And you could just look at the trajectory of business. My gosh, web business, porn, there's been so many articles on this, and the statistics are just staggering. They go more and more and more and more and more. How porn is just an amazing business because that's the sexual encounter we're drawn to. Apps like Tinder making all kind of money so people can hook up and connect with zero intimacy. Having sex is not intimacy. Intimacy is into me see. Knowing somebody, into me see. Sex is a part of it, but that is just the physical aspect of it. There has to be this spiritual and emotional underpinnings of that. You have a... Gosh, this latest hookup site I've understood or connect with somebody, it's smell dating. You sleep in the same t-shirt for 3 nights, get your odors all over it, mail it in, and then somebody else mails theirs in, and they compare the smells and they connect you up. Now, I don't know about you, but I prefer to not have smells with the person I would be with. I'm not like a smell guy. If you were an alien from another galaxy, and you were to come to our culture, our country, you say, man, these people are like, jeez. It's like central theme in movies, central theme in television, central themes in songs, that they can't tell a joke without having a sexual punchline. You've got all these businesses that are making million. You have people these people are like, they are sexually obsessed. I mean, if you insert hamburger for sex, and you think, what is wrong with this culture? All they do is hamburger. It's not about the attractors of hamburger. It's about a fixation that's totally gotten out of control. And I think it's gotten out of control because we're longing for intimacy, and the only thing we can understand with intimacy is sex. Intimacy and sex go hand in hand, but I tell you, the hack to getting a hold of your sex life, improving it, or putting it on hold is intimacy. The reason why many of us who are dating and have sex regularly is because we're not sure how to carry on a long conversation as a regular course of action. It's harder to have a long-term intimate conversation than it is to have a short-term sexual encounter. And I know all of us, we've got our different stuff in here. All of us have our history. All of us have our stuff in the past that's been done to us we wish wasn't done to us. All of us have our things that we've done to others that we wish hadn't done to them. All of us have our images that we've looked at and things we've done with it that we're not proud of us. All of us have hurts, wounds, chains that are on us, and we feel like these chains are shackling me from connecting with somebody else or being intimate with God, and that's not the way it is. Your chains can be broken.
Trouble. Cold to the touch, but she's warm as the devil. I gave her my heart, but she won't heal my soul. She tasted a break and I can't get more. You got me in chains. You got me in chains for your love. Break the chains, but the chains only break me. Down. Alone in the night till she knocks at my door. Wasted again, but I can't say no. Baby, tell me why. Chains, but the chains only break me. Down, 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 down. Chains only break me. Down, 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 down. Baby, tell me why. But the chains only break me.
Physiologically, we can study the brain and see there's things that are happening that draw us to sexual experiences and can actually chain us if we're not careful. There's a sexual reaction in our brains that releases dopamine. The latest research I've seen shows that when we're looking at porn, there's dopamine that is released inside of our brain. And dopamine makes us feel good, but really what they're finding is this is the anticipation chemical. I'm looking forward to the end. I'm looking at the end. And then at the end of a sexual encounter, there's oxytocin that's released. Oxytocin is the feel-good, cuddly chemical in our brain. We're tired at the end of a sexual encounter. We're tired and we just want to hold and snuggle. And it's really where beautiful intimacy takes place. And this is why when we have encounters that are outside of God's plan, they oftentimes leave us being empty because the oxytocin isn't there. It's not matching reality. We've had a one-night stand and somebody leaves because there's nothing there. We never get to the end of masturbating and say, yeah, that was awesome. Man, never happens. The dopamine on the front end is like exciting and once over, like, whoo, man, that was a great use of whatever amount of time. And we just need to look at these critically, and we need to look at these things spiritually to have a life that's properly aligned. So to help us do that for the rest of our time together, I'm going to bring up a part of our community, part of Crossroads. Please welcome our very own sex therapist, Emma Schmidt, to our stage. Come on up, Emma. People are not sure if they want to clap for you or not, like sex therapist. I'm not sure. So Emma, tell us how does one go about becoming a sex therapist? Because I think I've got a lot to offer.
Yeah, I'm sure. We could do couples therapy together.
Yeah, there
that's
you
our
go.
New gig. I became a couples a sex therapist. I got my master's in counseling, and at the same time while I was going to Cincinnati Christian University for my master's, I was also going down to Atlanta for the Institute for Sexual Wholeness to get my sex therapy certification, which was through another grad program, counseling program that specialized in human sexuality, sexual behavior, and going that route to get my sex therapy certification.
So generally, we choose occupations because they're part of our story. Something's happened with us, and especially, I think, probably the more exotic occupations, there's something there. So is there part of your story that drew you to this as an occupation?
Yeah, my husband and I, we've been married 9 years now. When we got married, we were virgins, and...
Whoa! No.
I know.
That doesn't happen anymore. Didn't somebody tell you that?
I know.
That's
they
not
did.
Possible. You're unhealthy to... Wow, okay, anyway, keep going.
Right, it was hard.
Of course it was.
It was hard. So...
It's the first of many of those. I'm going to try to hold myself back.
Yeah, it was difficult. We couldn't keep our hands. We called ourselves hornballs. So we tried to, we rushed the process maybe of getting married than the average person. So we get married, we're thinking, man, we are going to knock it out 5 times a day. We are going to have multiple orgasms. Let this get this thing going, which, ended up being very different than we thought. So we get married, we go to have sex, and we realize it's just not working the way that we thought it should work. I ended up having vaginismus, which is when the muscles around the vaginal entry lock up, making intercourse difficult or sometimes impossible. So for the first 3 years of our relationship, it was trying to figure out, okay, now that we can't have intercourse or that it's difficult, how are we going to think outside of the box to connect? And so we brought God into our sex life to figure out how can we be intimate in a different way? How can we connect, get to know each other sexually? And it ended up being really cool because it became creative. We saw sex as an act of worship then because of the intimacy, getting to know each other in a way that we knew to be different than intercourse, meaning insertion.
Fascinating, because it's interesting, both sides of the coin, because someone would say, well, there you go. I mean, that's now you've hopefully learned, because we wouldn't buy a car without test driving at first. And you got in without knowing whether or not you were sexually compatible. So that's exactly why we should be having premarital sex, because you got to make sure you're compatible. You're saying on the other side of that spectrum, you're saying it forced you and it enabled you to be intimate in a way that maybe you wouldn't have had to become intimate if all the parts were working properly.
Exactly. We were forced to figure it out. Okay, we are in a committed relationship. We knew, like, sickness or in health, we're going to get through this. And so it forced us to really become intimate, to get to know each other on a deeper level and have fun with it and be creative, which I think made us have maybe a better sex life than if we just knew insertion.
So you got to practice where obviously you have all kind of different worldviews, all kind of different sexual practices, beliefs, orientations that are coming to you. It's not like a churchy practice. You've got just a wide gamut of all kind of folks who are coming to you. Is there any like interesting market growth, any market growth in specific segments that you're seeing of people who are coming into your business or your practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one area that I see a lot of is conflict over sex. Couples coming in over desire issues or just having some disagreements over sex. And so I see a lot of that. I see a number of clients who deal with vaginismus, erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, delayed ejaculation, this category of sexual dysfunction I see quite a few of. But I started seeing the last few years a younger population come in, 20-year-olds, who were dealing with erectile dysfunction. We don't, I think that 20-year-olds would be coming in for erectile dysfunction, but it happens a lot. And so as I started investigating and getting to know, you know, what is happening with this population, there's this phenomenon that's become a trend of porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And so as we started investigating, and what I'm seeing in my office is porn creating and shifting the way that our arousal system is happening in these young guys showing up with erectile dysfunction.
Hmm. Why? You're saying just because they're masturbating regularly, they're having erectile dysfunction, or they're what's the connection there?
So the biggest piece is the porn piece. What we find is that if you're addicted to porn, we call it a brain disease because it really affects and triggers the way that the brain is wired, and then that affects the way that our body and our sexual response system is happening. So I think of it kind of like sugar. If you are, say, fruit has a natural sweetness to it. If you start eating something and digesting more sugar that is maybe like, let's say, processed sugar and like cookies with ice cream, and then you want like syrup, your brain is saying, I have a certain heightened sugar that is satisfying to me. So then whenever I go to taste maybe a strawberry, what happens is my brain has muted that taste, those taste buds, so I can't taste the natural flavor of that strawberry anymore. Same as with porn and sex. If I go and I'm looking at a magazine of a picture and say that's sexually arousing, my brain over time is saying that's not satisfying anymore. I want something more exciting, more aggressive. So I start increasing the porn that I'm watching in different aggressive stages. So whenever we go to our partner, what happens is our body can't respond to that natural sweetness that's healthy. And so the brain mutes that out. And so our body is not able to respond in a way. And we end up having, not me, I don't have a penis, but those of you who have penises might find that your arousal system is not responding to your partner because your brain is used to something a little bit more heightened stimulation.
Do you think this is partially because we're looking at our partner? By the way, this is obviously, yeah. What we're going to say right now is in the context of the ultimate ideal man and woman who are married and trying to be intimate with God. Obviously, if you're not in that place and you disagree with us, you're going to be able to take snippets and pieces and apply to your situation any way you want. But is there a reason why the physical aspect, you think we're just drawn to the physical act of sex and we're a little afraid of the emotional intimacy aspect of sex? Because isn't that what porn is, right? We don't have to be emotionally intimate.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a physical thing of sex. In fact, in porn, not that I've ever seen any, but in porn, you're never seeing people be emotionally sensitive to one another,
mm-hmm.
or serving one another in a spiritually authentic way.
Right.
Do you think that's messing with us at all?
Oh, for sure. Porn is really designed to sell sex, right? It's designed for entertainment, for show. Porn is very much goal-oriented. So how big is my erection? That I'm getting an erection, that I'm going to have an orgasm, that it's going to be this mind-blowing thing. It's very goal-oriented, where sexual intimacy is about connecting, getting to know each other. It's not necessarily goal-oriented. It's about how can I experience my partner and be with my partner and know and be known. And what I find in my, with my clients is I ask everybody, how do you gain your sexual knowledge? How have you done that? And there's only been a handful of people who haven't said porn. And so our culture is really being conditioned that sex equals porn. Sex equals goal-oriented or performance-based or entertainment or very showy. So when we show up to our partner, I think a lot of us are having a difficult time knowing what sexual intimacy looks like because we haven't, we
it's
might
never
not
been
know.
Modeled.
Exactly, yeah. It's not modeled. And so how can we start to shift that? Yeah.
All right, so let's shift to couples, couples issues. So most of us have maybe never been to a sex therapist, so help us out here. Like, what's a couple things you would do to help us attain intimacy?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing is talking about it, having a conversation with your partner. That might even be, 'cause talking to your partner about sex, as easy as we like conceptually think that might be, it's actually pretty hard, which is why we're having a difficult time talking about it. So even acknowledging and like being in your bathroom alone saying like vagina or like penis. So if you start to practice it alone and give me the confidence.
Should we just practice
that right now? I do that. I like to do that. Okay. How about we all say it? With some enthusiasm. Okay. I say it and then you say it. Penis.
Penis.
Yeah. Vulva.
Vulva.
Testicles.
That's good. We got okay, that's okay, good. Yeah. Great. Okay. All right.
See, now you're ready to have a conversation with your partner. Your wife. Exactly.
Why do we mention a Swedish car in there? I don't understand that.
The Swedish car?
Volvo.
Volvo. That's funny. Yes. Okay. So here's some sex ed. So people think. I'm going to do this. So this is the vulva, the clitoris, the vagina. People think that this, if we're mimicking the, this hasn't been done in any of the other services.
This is virgin territory.
This
right
is virgin
here.
Territory.
And you know what? Seriously, in all seriousness, I mean, God created these parts. Seriously. We created this. This is not some dirty, like weird, it's weird that believers don't know this stuff. That's what's weird. This is God's beautiful creation. I have no idea what we're going to do, but I'm uncomfortable already. Go ahead. What is it?
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
So the vagina is the hole. I guess that's my mouth. But the whole thing is the vulva. So vulva, not Volvo. Volvo.
That's the conglomeration of the parts.
That's the genital. That's the female genital area. Anyways, dialogue. So having a conversation with your partner. Being able to be open with your partner to say, you know, what are your interests? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? Saying or asking, what was your favorite experience that we've had since we've been together? What do you want to experiment with? What do you want to stop experimenting with? What do you, you know, just opening up the conversation for what do you want to try out and having this be a continuous conversation because us as humans, we grow, our hobbies change, the things that we like and dislike change, our bodies, the way that we function changes. And so that is also going to grow and manifest differently as we are in our relationship. So having those constant check-ins, I do this with my husband all the time. I think he's tired of talking about sex. But I'm always like, let's have a check-in.
Well, it makes sense. it makes sense that would be uncomfortable and it wouldn't be something we do very well or often because couples generally have an awful time communicating.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hard time communicating about what's going on with finances. We have a hard time communicating, you know, frustrations. I mean, communication just in general is difficult. So it makes sense that if communication is difficult, communication can be difficult related to sex, which is obviously a very difficult topic. So it's no wonder that many people who are together are frustrated because it's a touchy topic we don't talk about.
Right.
Okay, what's another one?
Yeah. Another one is slowing everything down. So if we think that if we're conditioned to porn is very goal-oriented, we want to try and shift to being present with our partner. So one of these exercises is called sensate focus exercise. So it's really getting to know and explore your partner and their body and getting to understand, like, what's happening. And I don't think we've slowed ourselves down enough to really experience and explore our partner's body. So the first exercise that you do is a hand exercise. So you start to caress the person's hair, the hand. And this is a non-talking exercise for 15 minutes where your partner or you are touching your partner's hand. And explore, you know, like, what does that wedding ring symbolize? What do the calluses mean? What do the wrinkles mean? What, it seems like this hand has done a lot of hard work for our family. That's really cool. Or what is it like to be touched? What is it like to touch? Am I getting anxiety? Do I have a fear just with my hand being touched? What is that about? How can I explore that a little bit more? But then going through each of the body parts, depending on how comfortable you feel and, exploring the body.
I know what I'm doing tonight. That's awesome. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm actually kind of embarrassed. Like, gosh, we've been 28 years. That sounds like an amazing exercise we've never done or tried.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just my opinion, see what you think. Maybe the reason why we're prone to extramarital affairs or trying something different is because the process of sex in marriage is one of intimacy. It's one of trying new things. It's one of uncomfortable conversations. And that's probably harder than just starting fresh with something over here that's just a physical transaction. Mm-hmm. Agree or disagree?
Oh, completely agree. I have clients that come into my office, partners don't know they're coming, and they say, help me with my sex life. My partner doesn't know, but I want you to help me because the conversation's too difficult to have. So if you can help me with my erectile dysfunction, or if you can help me with my vaginal pain, or whatever that looks like, and then insert me back into my relationship, that will be perfect. But the thing is that intimacy involves vulnerability, and we can't get to that place until we are turning towards each other and becoming a team versus trying to seek outside things to fulfill that.
That's good. Okay, one more. What's another tip for us?
So the other tip is, I would say, is a jar exercise. So thinking about what do you want to experiment with, what do you like, what has been fun for you all in the past, and throwing those ideas into a jar. And then whenever you want to initiate sex, you go pull out one, and then you have to do whatever that exercise is. So it could be, I hear some, So one activity could be thinking about, you know, I've been wanting to try that little pocket rocket thing, some kind of marital aid sexual toy. And so maybe your partner pulls that out and they say, maybe we have it. Maybe I'm going to go purchase that item and then I'm going to initiate
that. Do you have
that.
Sex in whatever this pocket rocket, or I mean, so do you have stock in this pocket rocket thing?
I don't have stock in it.
All right, okay, because a lot of people will be buying whatever that is.
It's true.
Well, you're
it's
saying,
like a little vibrator.
You're saying toys.
Toys, yeah. Like,
what if you just have a Tonka truck? AIDS.
A Tonka truck, exactly. So, if you're doing the financial peace exercise, you can go to your kid's room, get a marital aid there, come back to the bedroom, and use that for sensei focus. Yeah. You can do some exercises like massaging, full body caressing, getting some oils, full body caressing, but avoiding the genital and breast so that you're elongating the arousal and getting excited, but teasing the areas, which can be fun and playful, but really slowing down and still getting to know your partner's body. Or a lot of people say, you know, my kids are around, my environment's really stressful, so maybe one of the activities in there is going downtown, getting a hotel for a couple hours, and then coming back home. But getting out of your environment to just mix it up, have fun.
Couple hours.
Couple. I mean, you could do a whole day, maybe a weekend, maybe a week.
Maybe 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah, exactly. There was research recently that was done that the average amount of time is like 4 to 5 minutes for sex. But this isn't intimacy. This is goal-oriented sex, too.
That's
but 10 minutes, that's pretty long. How uncomfortable are you now?
Okay, so what else? What other final stuff you want to say to leave us with? Any final stuff?
So singles, we've been talking a lot about married, and I think this applies for marriage too, but what I see specifically with women, but really across the board, is using sex as a way to get something emotionally. And so maybe I don't want sex, but I'm going to provide it because I feel like that's going to get me maybe a cuddle or love. And then the partner leaves and you're like, I feel really empty right now. And I feel like that is really that place of void as only God can fill. So when we are thinking about pursuing sex to get something else, trying to challenge yourself to reach out to God to fulfill that instead of sex being that means like sex always wins that we're trying to avoid. Whenever I pray and ask God, like, what are you wanting to communicate to these people about sex? The pieces that keep coming to mind, which is God's way of communicating to me, is vulnerability, intimacy, and shame resilience. So we can't be intimate without vulnerability. And I find a lot of us have a difficult time being intimate and vulnerable. And so asking yourself, what is holding me back? And a lot of times what holds us back is that shame piece. Mm. So identifying, you know, what is the shame? How can I start addressing it and realizing, you know, my identity is in God and He finds me perfect and wonderful. And how can I start to show up to my partner naked emotionally and also physically?
Sweet. Hey, let's thank Emma for great stuff
thank
today.
You.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm.
You know, when Adam and Eve rebelled against the lordship of God in the garden, they took fruit they shouldn't have taken. They covered up themselves with leaves. It was shame. And they actually hid from God behind a bush. God had to call out to them, where are you? Our shame, our mistakes, they chain us and keep us from having intimacy. And that's just not what God wants. God wants us to be able to have intimacy with another person and with Him. And we've got to get through the shame, which is why we're doing a little exercise today around communion. When you got this, when you came in today, go ahead and pull this out right now. Let me just say something about this. This is not for everyone. This is for those who have received Jesus. He is your hope. He is you, who you are committed to. It's just not appropriate to have communion if that's not where you are. In the same way, it's not appropriate to have a wedding ring if you're not married to somebody. Doesn't mean you're not less. Doesn't mean you're less than. It just means that this is an exercise you should reserve if you ever get intimate with Jesus, if you ever get wedded to Him. It's a way to remind ourselves that we have nothing to fear and that we have complete forgiveness for all that we've experienced in the past right here now. I'll read this passage before we go further. And this is quoting Jesus. It says this, "And when He had given thanks," Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11:24, "when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" There's a little itty-bitty cellophane thing on the very, very top. Try to pull that off if you can. A little cellophane thing. You got a little wafer there. I almost hear here sexual language. "This is My body which is for you." It's a sign of intimacy. He says, "My body, it's for you. And this is My body. It's going to go to a cross. It's going to be nailed to a cross. It's going to be broken. It's going to be broken so that you will not have to be eternally broken. And right now you can be healed and not be broken right now. I am so in love with you. I've laid down My life for you. And you need to remember that your intimacy with your Heavenly Father is not based on your performance. Your intimacy with your Heavenly Father is based upon My performance for you going to a cross." And for all who want to remember the beautiful grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers and walk fresh in that, the body of Christ broken for you, take it and eat. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And pull off that other tab so you have a little juice here. Or if you're at Crossroads anywhere, perhaps you have legit wine or something else. Jesus says, "Remember this. I went to a cross and I spilled My blood for you." Ooh, I just spilled some down my hand. Jesus had blood all over His hands. All over His body. He spilled His blood for you and I so that you and I would not have to spill our own blood in shame over our past or our shortcomings. And He says, "Whenever you get together, remember, I love you so much. I spill myself for you. I pour myself out." Celebrate the grace, the forgiveness, the intimacy I have with you, and walk in confidence. The very blood of Christ, take and drink. Thank you. God, thank you for being an intimate Father, a Lord who understands how life works and wants our life to work better. I pray for your blessing on all the stuff that's happening in all of our sites sexually. Help us to go to a new place and experience you in it. Amen. Let's stand right now and sing this song that might make more sense now than it did half an hour ago.
And you are Lord of all, I'll follow where you lead, and I lay at your feet, and you can have all of me. Author of life, author of life, maker.
Guys, have a great rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week as we continue Life Hacks. Have a great one.